You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Natalie Kerry, Sam Turner and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Fosslast, Plumpton and Wolverhampton on Monday. So three meetings to come this Monday afternoon. We'll look ahead to that now. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark, although I'm still slightly grinding my teeth that I didn't nap Village Vic in the big race at Cheltenham on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll start with that race, John, actually. We'll have a quick look back at the best of Saturday's action. Village Vic, the winner of the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, and he's done it in nice fashion as well.
He did really well, didn't he? You and I were sitting on the train coming over from Carlisle to Leeds yesterday morning. I couldn't make up my mind as to whether I should nap a loyalty, the Cumbrian train Bailey's Concerto at Doncaster or Village Vic. I was unaware that the rain was pouring down at Doncaster and the ground was getting softer by the minute, and it clearly didn't suit Bailey's Concerto. But Village Vic, I thought 10 stone right at the bottom of the handicap with Richard Johnson riding at a very low weight. You know, it stuck out of the page at me. And I thought this is a horse who has taken a little bit of time to settle into jumping the bigger obstacles, but he's won his last two. Admittedly, the last one was at Musselburgh. He beat old Quito du Trésor, and it wasn't a great race, but he did it well, won very easily, and I thought off that weight he had a really great chance. And that the others near the top of the handicap, I mean, it was a Bywise supporter. But I was very interested in a small interview between Cornelius Lysage and Evan Williams, Mark, on Friday night on Five Live, where Evan Williams admitted that there was metalwork in one of the hind legs of Bywise, and right. This actually prevented him, if he met a fence not quite in his stride, from getting a spring from the back of the legs. And I thought, yes, you know, this is why. I thought it ran very well, Bywise, but it just simply possibly had... you know, done his near winning, and this was one too far. He's a gallant horse, by the way, he's finished fourth, but at the weights, I thought Village Vic had a great chance, and, you know, Richard Johnson, when he rides that sort of horse, he is very good at judging the pace. There was a moment, wasn't there, turning for home, when it looked as though the pack were descending on Village Vic, but Richard had kept enough in reserve, and Village Vic quickened away again, jumped the last two really well, and scored handsomely, a grinding teeth, 8-1, fantastic price, really.
Yeah. He's 3 from 3, in fact, this season, Village Vic, because he won at Weatherby before Musselburgh. So he's
certainly improved, but he's always been a horse of potential, definitely. And, you know, he's going to fear the handicapper will get him now, but yeah. He could still win something quite nice in the spring. But I think yesterday was almost his Gold Cup day, and I wasn't surprised he won. He just had to jump well, and on the whole, he did jump well.
Mm. The big race of the afternoon, John, was the international hurdle. I suppose there would have been a bit of a surprise with this result in some people's eyes. Old Guard running out the winner for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davis, getting the better of Sempre Medici, the Willie Mullins runner. Hargan back in third. Disappointment of the race was Peace and Co, who ended up finishing last and far too keen and buzzed up, really.
Yes, as a champion hurdle trial, it was a bit of a damp squib, Mark, really, because we wanted to see Peace and Co run a really decent race to judge whether he did or did not have much of a chance as a potential champion hurdle contender. He, of course, pulled Daryl Jacobs' arms out of their sockets early on, and Daryl was left with that very invidious question as to whether he went on having his arms pulled out of their sockets, or whether he let Peace and Co. Have his own way. He decided, probably sensibly, to let Peace and Co. have his own way. To his credit, the horse hurdled very fluently down the back straight, but he just simply had used up too much energy, and when they got to him coming down the hill towards the second last, you know, that was it. So a line through Peace and Co., he obviously will have to settle if he's going to have any chance of winning a champion hurdle. But I suppose in his favour, you could possibly remember that he had appeared for the first time on the same day on the Doncaster card last year. Mm. And there he had absolutely gone off at a frenetic gallop, kept it up all the way against lesser opposition, won very easily. Then he did settle a bit better, but it wasn't very good. If we were really sort of deciding about lessons from the international hurdle, I suppose the lesson is the fact that Semper Medici, or Sempre Medici, finishing a close second, indicated that the real top Irish guns like Fohine and Nicol Canyon, you know, must have a big chance in the champion hurdle, because I think they're significantly better than the Mullins runner who nearly won yesterday. Question mark is, how good is Old Guard? I mean, he's certainly improved, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's 3 from 3 this season, 3 wins at Cheltenham, won the Great Wood, and now followed up in the international. It's good form. It's just, do you think he can step up to that level again for the champion?
Well, personally, I don't think he'll win the champion, but he is an improving horse, and, you know, there's a sort of sense of more of that about him when that one went on to win the World Hurdle. But I think Paul Nicholls is fairly adamant that, you know, the champion might be too much for him this year.
Yeah. The market pretty much sums up the result of the international and its effect on the champion hurdle, because Fohine still 6-4, 6-1 Nicholls Canyon, Arctic Fire 8s, Peace and Co now 12-1, My Tent Are Yours 14s, Old Guard is 20s, as is Semper Medici, and the new one, and 25s are bigger for the others. I mean, it looks about right, doesn't it?
It does look about right, yes. One would hope that Fohine's going to come back to his very best form at Kempton over Christmas. Interesting race that, Christmas hurdle, because the new one, I think, is going to run in it as well.
Yeah.
And the new one tends to run pretty well in that race.
Yeah. Another win as well on the card on Saturday for, you know what I mean, Harry John. He's another improving horse, isn't he?
Very much so, yes. And has got a really good profile and will certainly improve for that. There was one or two interesting winners at Doncaster too. Mm. Alan King in really tremendous form at the moment. Can he keep it up until the festival in March is what I say. But Who Dares Wins, I thought, was excellent at Doncaster. Hurdled proficiently and showed a really good turn of foot in the closing stages on testing ground. I think he's likely to improve. And possibly Sago's Success too could pick up a decent prize. Won well yesterday. Alan King in great form, and nice to see Wayne Hutchinson, always a good jockey, getting 4 winners in a row at Doncaster.
Yeah, he had a good day, and Sago's Success, by the way, on the back of that win at Doncaster, 10-1 for the Welsh Grand National.
Yeah, I'm not certain it stays 4 miles, Mark. I wouldn't back him for the Welsh Grand National. That's probably an invitation for him to go on and win. But I thought he had a big chance in the National Hunt Chase, and he was going like the winner there until the bottom of the hill, and then he weakened and finished 5th, if I remember, in the 4 mile National Hunt Chase when he ran in that particular event at Cheltenham. He stayed on well yesterday to win at Doncaster, but it was 3 miles or just a little bit more. Whether he'll quite get the gruelling trip at Chepstow is open to question.
Mm. Well, on the subject of inform, Alan King as well, he had a win at Cheltenham, didn't he, in the shape of So Royal in the Triumph Hurdle trial.
I thought that was an extremely good horse. Simon Mounier, you know, has got some real ammunition. Yeah. Obviously, Peace and Co. is a disappointment, but I thought So Royal was excellent. I thought he'd win. I was delighted the KP said that he looked really well in the paddock beforehand. I was impressed with his victory at, or his run at Warwick before that. He showed speed and stamina, a combination which I think is absolutely vital for a race like the Triumph Hurdle. I thought he ran very well yesterday, hurdled well, settled well and produced pace at the end. I think he's a horse of considerable potential, so Royal.
All right. One more. I just want to get your thoughts on John before I move on to Monday's racing. More of that, two from two over fences now, and again, impressive. He looks a real good prospect, doesn't he?
I think so. Gary Capel is absolutely determined that he won't win the RSA.
Really?
I tend to think that whatever John Joe finally decides to run him in at the festival, he will win. I mean, he is a class individual, more of that. I mean, you don't win the World Hurdle without being a class individual to start with. Okay, he missed last year virtually, but that could be a good thing. I mean, Nicky Richards' Edouard, who is one of my favourite horses, missing the whole of this year. Nicky, obviously, a little bit disappointed that he is missing the year, but he points out that actually he's still a youngish horse and that it could do him a lot of good, allowing him to grow up without having any hard races in the interval. And more of that missing last year could become in the same category. I thought he jumped very economically and well. He quickened like the excellent horse he is at the end. He's now, in tremendous form at Cheltenham, and whatever race John Joe, the shrewdest and most acute of trainers, opts to run him in, I think he'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah, it's obviously still several options for more of that, but he's 4-1 to win any race at the festival, which...
Yeah, I think it's a fair bet, to be honest. Mm. I would have thought, John Joe and the festival, they're synonymous, really. He loves to get his good horses to win at least one good race at the festival, and more of that is a really good horse.
And he obviously improved quite rapidly the season he won the World Hurdle. They were considering whether they should run him in the race or not, and he obviously went on to win. I kind of get the impression they're thinking the same with the Gold Cup this time round, whether to maybe just have a crack at it with him this time round.
Well, they might well do. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I would, as I say, tend to leave it to John Joe to decide what the horse is going to run in, and he's very seldom wrong.
Mm. All right, anything else caught your eye, John, or shall we move on to Monday?
No, I think we covered it mostly.
Well, let's move on to Monday's action then. John's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The 135 at Foss Lass is where we start. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles. A field of 8 here, John. Who do you like in there?
Well, there's a couple, I think, who stand out. St. John Henry is one of them. David Pipe's runner, Tom Skew in the saddle. Tom Scudamore riding pretty well. I thought he was excellent on Gevry Chambertin and Dormouse at Lingfield on Saturday. This horse has got a certain amount of potential. Goes in the soft. It's going to be testing at Foss Lass, as it always is around this time of the year. Got to go well. The other one who catches the eye is Captain of Industry. Nice to see Mark Pitt back in action as a trainer, and Malcolm Denmark, of course, staying faithful to the Pittman family. Captain of Industry, obviously a useful horse, won well at Taunton last time out, and he's unexposed and could give St. John Henry plenty to think about. Not a great deal else in the race, I thought. Bernard Llewellyn is in good form on the whole. He's got Philator in this contest, but the horse itself doesn't look as though it's in great form. I think it's got to improve. It could turn out to be a match between St. John Henry and Captain of Industry. I'm going with St. John Henry.
St. John Henry then for Lord Budden in the 135. The second race we look at is the 150 at Plumpton, and this one is a handicap chase over almost 3.25 miles. Just a note as well for all racers at Plumpton on Monday, if you're having a bet and your horse finishes second, you get the money back as a free bet up to £25 on all races with more than 5 runners. So this race does qualify, 6 of them in here. John, who'd you like for the race?
Well, there are 3 horses that I thought have got a fair chance. Last year's winners in it, Leg Iron. I think it's so well named, actually, Mark, because he looks as though he's got legs of iron. And, he doesn't jump with any great spring. He tends to make really quite serious errors and knock the stuffing out of fences. But Sheena West has done very well with this horse over the years, and he's getting a bit long in the fang. But Plumpton is his course, and he won the race last year, and I wouldn't write him off. I think probably the best horse in the race is No Through Road, who had some really quite decent performances last year for Michael Scudamore. The handicapper might just have got a little bit hold of him at the moment, but I think he is probably the most potentially good horse in the race, and I would expect him to go certainly better than he did last time. But for the selection, I go with an old favourite of Plumpton. I think Reblis has got a fair chance. Loves soft ground. The further they go, the better. Gary Moore's team in really tremendous form at the moment. And Reblis likes Plumpton. And he was a perfectly sound second in heavy ground at Lingfield last time out, which suggests that, you know, he's about cherry ripe. So I'll go with Reblis.
Yeah, twice a winner of this race as well, John Reblis.
He's yes.
Won it in 2013 and 2011.
Yeah, he is getting a bit old.
Reblis then the selection for Lord Budden in the 150. Back to Foss last we go for their 210. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and one furlong. We've got a field of seven here. John, who would you like in there?
Well, I think it's an outstanding chance here. I think Royal Palladium, if he runs up to recent form, has got to have a really great chance of winning this race. Just a couple of others before mentioning why I think Royal Palladium ought to win. Bob Ford likes Force Lass, loves soft ground, ploughs through it, but hasn't done very much recently. It is so interesting, Mark, that this horse is trained by Rebecca Curtis. Now, Rebecca has had a very poor sort of almost 2 months, certainly 1 month and a bit more. She puts it down to the fact that the hay was too rich and that the food was also of a very sort of high calibre, and that the horses were eating too much of it, and they were not putting in the effort at the end of their races. Well, whether that's accurate or not, what is accurate is the fact that the Curtis horses have been very much out of form. Irish Cavalier, for example, didn't even run yesterday at Cheltenham. And here we have Bob Ford running for her, so it could be a benchmark to see, you know, if he runs decently, perhaps the Curtis horses are coming back into a bit of form. Witchwood Brook is also a bit of a Force Lass horse, trained by Evan Williams, whose horses are in very good form. Faller in the Fixed Brush final at Haydock last time out, but likes Force Lass. On the other hand, I think the form indicates that Royal Palladium has got a really good chance in this race, trained by Venetia Williams, whose horses continue to be in good shape, ridden by Liam Treadwell, who's taking advantage, isn't he, of Ady Coleman riding quite a lot for John Ferguson, and therefore he's getting more rides for Venetia Williams. Good victory for him at Aintree recently. And Royal Palladium, well, it didn't run too badly at Haydock last time out in midfield in a really competitive race, and was second in the Badger Ales. Now, that form's surely good enough here, so I'll be disappointed if Royal Palladium does not win.
Royal Palladium then for John in the 210, and we finish off in the 510 at Wolverhampton. This one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and half a furlong. A field of seven here, John. Who'd you like for the 510?
Well, this is a very, very competitive race. Sort of be going down from the top. It's competitive without being top quality. Rocket Ronnie represents Ed McMahon. Didn't run at all badly at Kempton last time out. Only beaten just over 3 lengths. Fourth of 13. Then we've got Robbins Pearl. Equally pretty sound for Harry Dunlop. A course and distance winner last time out. Not a great follower of Harry Dunlop's team myself, but nevertheless, you can't consider that Robbins Pearl's out of it. Course and distance winner last time. At Epsom, we've got Cosmic Ray representing Mark Loughran, who is quite a Wolverhampton specialist. Didn't run too badly at Epsom. But I'm going to go for Hernando Torres in this contest. Mick Easterby's horse is in good shape. A bit unlucky not to win with Oil Strike at Wolverhampton on Saturday evening. But on the whole, his horses are running well. Good second last time out at Wolverhampton. Nathan Evans in the saddle, excellent £7 claimer, with the team striking almost gold, certainly silver. I'm going to go with Mick Easterby and Hernando Torres.
Hernando Torres then for Lord Budden in the 5-10 at Wolverhampton. As always, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, we open with the 135 at Force Lass, and I'm going for David Pipe and St John Henry. Then it's off to Plumpton for the 150. Old favourite Reblis, I thought, would run well for the Moore camp. Back to Forstnerz at 210. Possibly Nat material. I do think Royal Palladium has got an excellent chance in that race of Forstnerz. And then in the 510 at Wolverhampton, Mick Easterby and Hernando Torres.
Good work, John. Pleasure speaking to you again. Thank you very much and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Natalie Kerry, Sam Turner and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. Three meetings to come, Forstnerz, Plumpton and Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.